Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Monday, November 28. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, UWP Senator urges authorities to discontinue the court case against the Salisbury farmer protesters. Panamanian organized crime prosecutor obtains extension in Panama Papers law firm investigation. And socialists scramble to avoid a split after Fillon win. The news is brought to you compliments Fast Cash and Courts Dominica Limited.
$1,000 can be yours.
Fast Cash. I need fast cash to get me started, cause I want to get ahead in life. No matter what the problem, fast cash can solve it. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash.
Fast cash. Your money, your way.
This year, unwrap the season's best with the perfect gift from Quartz. Whether it's thrills and excitement, shiny convenience, or elegant style, we have it all at the best prices and with ready finance too. Unwrap your best gift ever. Only at Quartz, bringing value home.
UWP Senator Isaac Baptist believes that the National Security Minister and the Director of a Public Prosecution should advocate for discontinuing the court case that has been filed against the residents and farmers of Salisbury who protested for better roads in May and June of 2015. Baptist says if the authorities continue this case, it will confirm speculation that it is politically motivated due to the fact that the people of Salisbury voted for the United Workers' Party in the 2014 general elections. And before that as well.
It is, you know, again, it is a situation where you find an administration that's not prepared to reconcile differences with the people of the country. The people of Salisbury really took protest action. Regardless of what, how you feel about it, the fact is that the action of the police and by extension the government was wrong and the way they treated the people. And we are now in a situation where the country is in economic crisis. Erica did so much damage and so on. The least you could have used that as an opportunity to, you know, extend an olive branch to the people of Salisbury and indicate to them that the government is no longer, the police, etc., no longer interested in pursuing this matter, which is an injustice to the people. Let me compliment the parliamentary representative for the Salisbury constituency, Honorable Hector John, for the invaluable work he's doing for his constituents. And I'm sure that he's the one of those persons leading in that area, trying to raise the resources. We in the Casper's constituency have made a contribution to that cause, and we'll continue to do as much as we can. But I would really like to call on the government, the Minister of National Security, the Director of Public Prosecution, whoever holds the power to discontinue these cases against the people of Salisbury. Do the honorable thing. Do not allow political victimization to cloud your good judgment and have these cases completely removed from the in terms of going forward.
Dominica is reportedly among 10 Caribbean countries which will benefit from a multi-million dollar climate change adaptation program. The Belize-based Caribbean Community Climate Change Center has launched a climate change adaptation program, which it says will boost climate resilience development and reduce the climate change-induced risks to humans and natural assets in 10 Caribbean countries. The four-year U.S. $25.6 million climate change adaptation program project was launched in collaboration with the U.S. Agency for International Development for the Eastern and Southern Caribbean. It is part of a larger goal of creating a more secure and prosperous Caribbean community through sustainable climate change adaptation measures. The climate change adaptation program will be implemented in Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, and Suriname. Meanwhile, Environment Minister Dr. Kenneth Darrow says he is worried that Dominica and other small islands developing states are being led into a false sense of security as it relates to climate change funding. Dr. Darrow was present at the recent conference of parties, COP22, which was held in Morocco from November 11 to 17, 2016. Dr. Darrow described the meeting as very low-key, for want of a better term. He says although the historic occasion of the signing of the Paris Agreement last year is a reason to celebrate success, the agreement remains nothing more than just a piece of paper with signatures.
It was a very low-key COP, to say the least, for want of a better term. It wasn't the usual hustle and bustle of a usual conference of parties. And of course, a lot of this had to do, I would think, with the fact that the last year marked the historic occasion or event of the signing of the Paris Agreement. And this is, while this is a reason to celebrate success, that everyone keep on patting themselves on the back that if the world finally reach an agreement, I can say that it is a bit worrying to me, because I get the feeling that we were led into a false sense of security. And the fact that the Paris Agreement has been signed, that everyone seemed to think that, hey, you know, let us clap ourselves on the back and job well done. But this is worrying, and I'll say why. Because now that the agreement has been signed, it still remains nothing more than just a piece of paper with signatures. And that's only signed. To date, 100-plus countries, 111 countries, I think, have ratified the agreement. And we might ask, why not the entire UN structure? Some countries have to go through various national procedures before they ratify any convention. In our case, once it's ratified by cabinet, we can go ahead and ratify. Some countries have to go through parliament, etc., before they ratify any international agreement. But I was saying that we seem to get the sense that we've been sitting on our laurels and patting ourselves on the back. And in my opinion, the work has just begun, because now that the agreement has been signed, we now have to look at implementation.
Dr. Dara noted the issue of climate change has now become a physical issue for small island developing states like Dominica.
The issue of climate change right now for us, especially small island developing states, is no longer an intellectual discussion. It has moved beyond that. It has even moved past a developmental issue. It is now to us an existential issue. And most of us saw what happened last year in tropical South America. And years gone by, we would experience these non-seasonal or unseasonal weather events, and of course, we'd go through them, etc., from time to time. We saw what happened last year, tropical South America, and my very own community, Petit Savan, where we had to relocate two entire communities. So for smaller than developing states, we've been very vocal, because we realized that we are now suffering the brunt of the effects of climate change, suffering a phenomenon that we had very little or nothing at all to do with. We emit very little greenhouse gases, and whatever little that we emit from vehicles, etc., this is being captured by our extensive 60-something% forest cover. So we have very little to do with what is happening, the phenomenon of climate change, but we are suffering the brunt of it. And what happens is that every year, monies that would have been budgeted for new development, new initiatives, new investments, now have to go now into restoration and cleanup after this event. So it has become, as I said, an existential issue for smaller and developing states. I mean, we had like 30-something deaths last year from tropical South America. The need for the developed countries to meet their commitments is urgent. We need it not just now, yesterday, but last year, the year before. We have river walls to build to defend our communities. We have sea walls to build to defend, to protect our beaches and investments, etc.
Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit has described the former Cuban President Fidel Castro as someone who had a very long and positive impact on the entire world, having served for several decades. Castro died on 25th November 2016 at the age of 90. Speaking of the revolutionary leader, Prime Minister Skerrit said, "We will certainly miss him a lot and his presence in the world." He highlighted the critical role Cuba played in the freedom of black people in Africa and the generosity of the Cuban leader in terms of healthcare and education in the region and across the world. Dominica established diplomatic relations with Cuba in 1996, but has been benefiting tremendously from relations with the Spanish country since 1979.
It is not only about his long-standing leadership of Cuba that is of note, but his generosity to the world and the impact which Cuba made on freedoms of many countries. In South Africa, Cuba was very instrumental with the ANC in fighting for the equal rights of people of color. Also in many African countries, Cuba played a very critical role in the freedom of black people, African people. And in terms of healthcare and education, I believe that every country in this world would have been impacted upon by the generosity of the Cuban leader, Fidel Castro. He was a well-respected world leader. In Dominica, every sphere of our society has been impacted by the generosity of Fidel Castro.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister says the flags in Dominica will be flown at half-staff until the day after his burial in recognition of his life and a contribution to Dominica and the Caribbean region.
We wish to extend our sincere condolences to the government and people of Dominica on my own behalf and that of my family, to the government, his brother, Rahul, and to the Cuban people and the Cuban ambassador resident here in Dominica. Our sincere and deepest condolences on the passing of Fidel. I have had the occasion over an extended period of time to interact with him. I consider him to be a mentor, I consider him to be a friend, and I've learned quite a bit from him in terms of his leadership and how he views world issues. In recognition of his life and his contribution to Dominica and the Caribbean region, our flags in Dominica will be flown at half-staff until the day after his burial, as a sign of our respect, admiration, and appreciation for his contribution to Dominica. Fortunately for us, we had the opportunity to bestow upon him a few years ago the highest national award in our country in recognition of not only his contribution to Dominica, but his contribution to the region.
Meantime, in a formal letter addressed to His Excellency Juan Carlos Frometa de la Rosa on November 27, the United Workers' Party, being the parliamentary opposition in the Commonwealth of Dominica, stated the following: "We extend sincere condolences to the government, people of Cuba, and the family of His Excellency Fidel Castro on the occasion of the death of that nation's former commander-in-chief, president of the Council of State and Ministers, and historical leader of the Cuban Revolution. The United Workers' Party stands with the Cuban nation as it mourns the loss of a leader whose devotion to national development spanned more than six decades. In the Fidel Castro era, Cuba contributed meaningfully to education and healthcare on the African continent, Latin America, and the Caribbean, for which the people of these regions will be eternally thankful." Persons in areas prone to flooding, landslides, and falling rocks are being advised to be vigilant and to exercise extreme caution from today, Monday, into Tuesday. This advisory comes from the Dominica Met Service as a trough system affects the Lesser Antilles, including Dominica, increasing the possibility of flash flooding and landslides. According to the Met Service, satellite and radar imagery indicated that moderate to heavy shower and thunderstorm activity have been affecting most of the island chain. The public is also being advised to keep informed on this system by paying attention to further updates provided by the Met Service. The forecast is for moderate to heavy shower and thunderstorm activity across Dominica today and to continue into Tuesday. Current model projected rainfall is approximately 4 to 6 inches, with higher amounts, especially in elevated areas. Moderate to rough seas are also expected in areas of showers and thunderstorms. And Minister of Social Services, Family and Gender Affairs, Catherine Daniel, says government has taken several initiatives to prevent and end violence against women and girls in Dominica. Dominica joins the rest of the international community in observance of International Day to Reject Violence Against Women and Girls on Friday, November 25. The year International Day to Reject Violence Against Women and Girls is celebrated under the UN Women's theme, Orange the World, Raise Money to End Violence Against Women and Girls. The minister, in her address to the nation on Friday, outlined the steps which have been taken by government so far.
Providing women and girls with equal access to education, healthcare, decent work, and representation in political and economic decision-making processes will fuel sustainable economies and benefit societies and humanity at large. That is why the government of Dominica has worked relentlessly in ensuring the achievement of universal access to primary and secondary education, over 85% access to tertiary level education, and the increase of female representation at the political level. It is globally recognized that one of the major initiatives to prevent and end violence against women and girls worldwide is the empowerment of women through education, employment, skills training, and entrepreneurship. As a result, in an effort to achieve the goal of reducing violence against our women and girls, The government of Dominica has, through the National Employment Program, Small Business Financing, Adult Education, Youth Skills Training Program, and several other programs, assisted many women and girls to empower themselves, thereby becoming more independent and less vulnerable to gender-based violence. We will continue to enhance our various employment training and entrepreneurship programs with a view to increasing the participation of women and girls, with a special emphasis on vulnerable groups, and will continue to provide resources for initiatives to prevent and end violence against women and girls.
Each year, the UN observes the 16 days of activism to highlight the international campaign to end violence against women and girls. As such, the Ministry of Social Services, Family and Gender Affairs is hosting a series of activities within the next 16 days.
In partnership with our NGO partners, namely the Dominican National Council of Women, National Youth Council, CARIMAN, Dominica Association of Persons with Disabilities, Dominica Planned Parenthood, and the National HIV/AIDS Unit, the Ministry of Social Services, Family and Gender Affairs will host and participate in the number of activities such as the Young Women in Leadership and Diversity Workshop, Church Leaders Workshop, the Clothesline Project, the Gender Self-Exploration Tour, community meetings, and Barhopper's Limes, in an effort to bring the issue of gender-based violence to national prominence and mobilize support for the ongoing campaigns. I am therefore appealing to the entire Dominican public to join forces to eliminate this scourge and to support ongoing efforts to provide an equitable and just society. We urge our NGOs, churches, communities, and the general public to continue to bring awareness to the issues of discrimination and violence plaguing women and girls in our society. I urge you to stand up, speak up, and be a champion for our daughters, mothers, sisters, and friends. More importantly, I encourage us to support and empower each other. I particularly encourage our women to retool yourselves, take advantage of opportunities for your advancement.
The general public was asked to wear orange last Friday to symbolize a brighter future without violence. In other news, Javier Caraballo, the lead organized crime prosecutor investigating Panama Papers law firm Mossack Fonseca since April 2016, has obtained an extension of time in which to continue his ongoing investigation of alleged criminal conduct at the firm. He has requested judicial assistance from 16 foreign jurisdictions and sent out material after requests were received from six, all arising out of the Panama Papers documents. The public relations staff at Mossack Fonseca has gone to great pains to deny that the law firm is guilty of money laundering or of facilitating the proceeds of crime, corruption, or terrorist financing. And leading figures in the ruling French socialists have rushed to avoid a damaging split over their candidate in the spring presidential election. Alarm bells sounded after Prime Minister Manuel Valls suggested he might stand against President François Hollande in party primaries. A government spokesman warned Mr. Valls would have to resign in order to do so. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. UWP senator urges authorities to discontinue the court case against the Salisbury farmer protesters. Panamanian organized crime prosecutor obtains extension in Panama Papers law firm investigation. And socialists scramble to avoid a split after Fillon win. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.